I think they're a mix of calm and crazy.
They're just fun.
They're like a married couple.
They're hilarious.
SAFM Breakfast.
We're back and soda.
Start listening.
Hey, welcome along to the podcast. I hope you've had a big, big day. And obviously with Easter coming up in the next few days, you may have been out doing a bit of shopping and getting some chalky eggs. Oh, obviously the Easter Bunny will be there for the hunt in the morning. Mm. But have you got your kids all sorted for the gifts you give them?
I popped into Hague's on Jetty Road at Glenelg yesterday. Dropped the GDP of a small country on eggs as gifts. And you know what? I'm sorry, Hague's. I do love you. You're a great South Australian company. But when they give you that little sample, for a start, who's saying no to the sample? When they go, would you like a little taste? Like, who's saying no to that?
With their white gloves
on. Their little white gloves.
Yeah.
So they, because it's Easter, they give you the broken Easter eggs.
Yeah.
They gave me the smallest little morsel of Easter egg. I'm like, what I've just spent, I should open my hands and you should pour that entire jar of broken Easter eggs into my hands. I'm going to put it in my gob right now.
Just saying the South Australian icon's tight.
I feel like you could give me two little samples, please, for my efforts.
Righto. What did you buy in there?
Well, my kids like the giant bilbies.
Okay.
And, of course, we've got the exchange student, and I bought one for Grace's boyfriend. So I think I got, like, six giant bilbies.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a second mortgage out on the house.
Oh, okay, mate, seriously? The bilbies?
The girls like bilbies.
Oh, really? What, so the down the supermarket, the local Humpty Dumpty egg that you can smash open for a couple of bucks doesn't cut it?
No, they're not interested in the elegant rabbit. They
Why
want
not?
A South Australian marsupial.
Right, the bilby.
It has to be the bilby and not the small bilby or the small little hen or the Murray cod. It has to be the giant bloody bilby.
Right, so you'll be sharing that with Devonshire tea and cucumber sandwich on Sunday afternoon for Easter? What do your kids have? The bilby.
Mummy, I want a bilby.
Good Lord.
Flog. Flog.
Oh, play that. Jeez, apple and tree scenario here. Yeah.
We like our haves.
Right, let's get into the podcast, shall we? Beck and Soda on SAFM.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
You know, your kids are a little bit younger than mine, Soda, but you kind of think you get to a point where they get easier. So my eldest is turning 21. We're in the process of
21-year-old. Do you ever stop sometimes and go, my daughter is 21?
Oh, yes, particularly when we're organising this party and she... yesterday, it's a month away and she went shopping last night for candles. But yeah, look, it does age me.
If you're at the beach, right, and she's with a group of friends and some of the boys there are 21, 22, 23, do you sometimes sort of look and go, oh, he's an attractive young man?
I try not to.
Do you though?
Well.
This is like another one. Be honest.
Be
honest, Victoria.
Yeah, sometimes.
So does that feel weird to you now that you're a mum and you have a daughter of that age where you could, if you're a single woman, right, let's say that, God forbid, something happened to James, right, and you were back out there, like could a 21, 22, 23-year-old pique your fancy?
Be honest.
No, because they wouldn't be interested in this old boiler.
No. Not about them with you.
No. We've had this conversation before.
You have to be
in the 30s.
Do you have a BS meter there?
No.
Can you just turn it on?
I've only got the flog one. So
Well,
flog.
I wouldn't
so much
have the
flog.
Energy for a 21-year-old. That'd wear me,
just wondering, though, because you get to that point and then you think, well, when your kids are getting that old, my eldest is 11. Right? So when he has a party, they're all little kids. They're all just still little kids. But at one point, they're not little kids and then they're drinking alcohol and they're having parties and then they're getting on. And then you sort of think, because do you see yourself as your age or do you see, like 25-year-olds, you go, oh, yeah, I could still hang with them.
Of course not. I see myself as probably early 30s.
Be honest.
But I probably will be sitting in the corner at her 21st just with a cheeky glass
of champagne. It's hard sometimes because, you know, I reckon sometimes, I don't know whether you do it, you go to have a shave, right?
Yeah.
Well, not you, but John Moore.
The chin hairs are getting more prominent.
But you go to have a shave and then, like, every few months I'll catch myself in the mirror and you actually look properly and go,
oh, God.
Jesus, what happened to me?
It's the grey hairs that get me.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, do you know what, for me, it's
go,
the turkey
where
neck.
Where
With the turkey neck. Sometimes I'll accidentally, you know, open my phone and it'll be on selfie mode and my neck
is just
gobble,
gobble, the gobble,
gobble.
Down.
Then I know I can't pull a 21-year-old. Anyway, happy birthday, Grace.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Yesterday, mid-morning, they launched the Sandful season. Of course, the second-tier footy league, which kicks off on Thursday night, and then all the games, the rest of the games are all on Friday, on Good Friday. And I was thinking, gee, it was only probably 20 years ago and people are going, well, we'll never play football on Good Friday. It's sacred. Mm. Now, every game's on Good Friday, just about. Mm. But while they were doing the launch, it was at the Adelaide Oval, right? Mm-hmm. So up on level five there, there's like a terrace area, and right behind it is Memorial Drive, the tennis centre, which has been refurbished. Anyway, while there were some speeches and that going on, you could keep hearing this competing noise next door. Mm. And sitting there going, we can't even hear what's going on. We can't find out what these young blokes are talking about. Just kept hearing this noise pumping away, but couldn't really determine what it was. Anyway, afterwards we finished, we're all sitting there, and one of the blokes goes, oh, that was Tom Jones. And Tom Jones.
Not
Tom Jonas from Port Adelaide, the ex-captain. Tom Jones, right? And I go, what do you mean? I said, no, he's actually performing at Memorial Drive tonight, which was last night. I had no idea.
I didn't hear that either.
That he was in town. There he is.
They dropped the flyers around the nursing home.
Well, do you know that he is? And for those of you that haven't heard of Tom Jones, well, he was your sex bomb of, what, the 60s, I suppose, a Welsh guy.
Yeah.
He's 83.
Was the show
83.
Was the show at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, absolutely.
Food was pureed.
Everyone was given a tenor lady or a man's pants to get through so they didn't have to go in between songs. But fascinatingly, there's a story here in the paper. He looks a million bucks. There's a great picture on page 9 in the Tizer of Tom Jones.
He's got a good tan.
Yeah, he's awesome guy, a lot of charisma. At 83, like, that is phenomenal. Great voice. Beck, but what it says here, because you know, famously, it was women used to throw their knickers at him.
I think they still do.
That'd be a bit bigger now, wouldn't it? He's probably not getting your lacy G. He's probably getting a big set of nana knickers, just which would almost take him out if they hit him.
That's dangerous.
A control brief.
But he famously was meant to be the man that had been with a lot of women. It says here in the paper that the Welsh crooner once boasted of sleeping with 250 women.
Well, if he's 83, that's 60 years of rooting.
Well, I'm not quite. I would have said being intimate, but if you want to go down that path.
Then that's what that's only like, what, half a dozen a year? That's not too bad considering
No. It's saying he boasted of sleeping with 250 women a year.
A year?
At one point.
A year?
No, so that's four or five a week.
Wow.
Tommy.
Seriously. 250 women a year.
Is he just standing on the stage and saying, I love that one?
Well, maybe. I don't know. But that's a lot of women. That is a lot of women. Even if you take, well, I don't know how long he's been married, but even if you took him, say he had 30 peak years, right? 30
peak years.
He's
got his calculator
years.
Out. What's 30?
Hang on, let's say he's, what, 83? 30 times 250. Mm. Right, let's just get a bit of a gauge here.
Who's got the energy?
Oh, my God, that's 7,500 women.
Yeah, nice.
That's a ballpark. That's phenomenal.
You'd call that a drought.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Righto, this is just to get your brain working a little early in the morning, Beck. Riddle Man, 131060, give us a call. All you need to do is answer a question right. Okay, Beck? You are very, very...
I've got my pen and paper.
Okay at these. You've got one or two of them
I'm
over there.
I'm very okay at these.
Okay. the prize is a night out on us, so we'll give you tickets to the Flicks, $100 for, what, dinner and drinks? Why not? Okay, Beck, you're ready to go. You got your pen?
I've got my pen. I'm listening.
131060 if you want to get on board. Right, Beck, Sally is on an island. She has no food and she has no water.
I was about to say lucky Sally, but I would need a cocktail. Okay.
Right, she has no food or no water, Sally, yet she doesn't fear for her life. Why not?
The island is Tasmania.
Well, no, it's not.
Oh, okay.
But good thinking. Right, so Sally is on an island, no food, no water, and there's no food or water coming to that island, right? Yet she doesn't fear for her life. Why not? What do you think? So it's not Tassie.
I mean, even Tassie with no food or water wouldn't be fun.
Tassie's a good place, though.
Yeah, but you need food and water. I've been there once.
Good place. But, okay, so Sally's on an island. No food, no water, yet she doesn't fear for her life. Why not? Okay, Renee from Salisbury Park. Morning, Renee.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing? All right?
All right, thanks.
Okay, this is just to get your brain ticking over early. Right. What is the situation? She's on an island. She's got no food. She's got no water. Yet she doesn't fear for her life. Why not?
Is she like a sea creature that lives on land and water?
Oh, Renee, I love you thinking.
Like an aerial.
Go straight laterally. No, she's not. Because if she had been a bird or something, you think she'd just fly off, couldn't she? Right, Sylvia from Golden Grove. Morning, Sylvia.
Good morning.
Right, let's test your brain capacity right here. Sally's on an island. Sure. No food, no water, and there's no food or water coming to this island, right? Yet she doesn't fear for her life. Why not?
No idea, sorry.
That's okay. You have to apologise, Sylvia. Thanks for having a crack.
She just went to an all-you-can-eat buffet and she's full.
That would be okay.
Sorry, but coughing then, over here at the same time.
In a couple of weeks' time or maybe a couple of days' time when she runs out of food. Okay. Kim from Elizabeth North. Good morning, Kim. Right, what's going on with Sally? She's on an island, no food, no water. She doesn't fear for her life. Why doesn't she?
No idea.
Okay.
No idea.
That's okay. Thanks for having a crack. Beck, you got any ideas still?
I liked my easy one the other day.
Kirsty from Clemsy. Kirsty, what do you reckon?
Sally's a seagull.
Oh, I love it. But no, it's incorrect.
Even seagulls need food.
Yeah. Well, she could fly off though, couldn't she?
Oh, I get it. The island. Yeah, I liked that though. That was lateral.
Tanya from Greenwith. Tanya, Sally's on the island. She's got no food. She's got no water yet. She doesn't fear for her life. Why not?
Because she's sitting on a kitchen island.
I tell you what. I really like your thinking because now you're going right, left to field, but no, you're incorrect. It's not
like
an island bench. But you are talking the right language.
Okay.
Right, Beck, 131060, give us a call. Sally's on an island, no food, no water, yet she doesn't fear for her life.
Well, this is stumping people this morning.
Beck, look at you. You just glazed over. What do you got?
No, as usual, I've got nothing. It's just my resting glazed face. I'm like a Krispy Kreme donut.
Okay, Shane from Semaphore. Shane, Sally is on an island. She's got no food. She's got no water yet. She doesn't fear for her life. Why not?
I believe Sally is standing in the middle of the road in an island on
on a traffic island.
Correct.
You're right, Shane. Well done.
Awesome.
That's ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous? Look at Beck.
That's a dumb one.
Why is it dumb? So now you're saying Shane's dumb.
No, Shane's smart to get it.
Well, he got it.
Long time listener, first time caller.
I love you, Shane-o.
Shane, you are off to the movies. We've also got $100 for your dinner and your drinks. And Shane, regardless of what Beck thinks, I think you're very intelligent, buddy.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
As long as you don't call it a medium strip. That's my other pet hate. It's a median strip.
Yeah.
That's my little fun fact for the day.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. Refuel with Nippy's Chocolate Milk.
Nicely done, Bokey. A beautiful goal.
With Beck and Soda, we'd like to welcome Travis Boak. Boak, 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 Boak.
Here he is, a 350 gamer, our man Travis Boak. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Good
big, big day. You got the win too.
We got the win. That was the most important thing. So I got the 4 points back to Adelaide.
Now, you told us last week that when you got to your 300th, it was a little overwhelming because it's such a significant thing. Like, to get to 350, there's only, I think, 28 blokes that have ever done it in the history of AFL football, which is pretty amazing.
Crazy.
So you said your 300th was pretty overwhelming, but you went with a different perspective to celebrate the people that supported you in 350. How did it work?
No, it was definitely a lot better. I think I went into the game a lot more relaxed, calm, and sort of just embraced the whole week. I was still pretty exhausted by the end. It was definitely overwhelming. I mean, the amount of love that I got from the whole wider AFL community was pretty special. So it was a really good week. I was a little bit tired before the game.
For what reason? Just emotional?
Just an emotional week, I think.
Yeah, the adrenaline.
Just sort of embracing everything and, reflecting on the career that it has been. It was really special, but it was good to go out there and get the win.
I saw your mum on the sidelines, Chicky, when you walked out. A bit teary, bit emotional, mum.
Yeah, mum was pumped. Like, she had, I think she had a really good week as well, and obviously a really good day on the Sunday, and to celebrate, my family, and they've obviously been there throughout the whole journey.
Your whole life, in fact.
Yeah, my whole life. They've been there the whole life.
Important. Your mum was very heavily involved in the entire situation.
The whole career, So that was special.
Bokey, now that it's there and you just go on, do you stop and have a moment to reflect? Do you make that time to reflect, or do you just go, right, 351 this week, let's move on, we've got the Demons on Saturday night?
I think the whole week was kind of a chance to reflect. So now I'm kind of pretty keen just to go play footy. So we got a massive one Saturday night against Melbourne. So it was as soon as the game was over and celebrated with a few drinks and dinner with family and friends after the game to then move on to Melbourne pretty quickly.
And what were you doing yesterday at Adelaide Oval? Something a little bit different? You weren't actually on the ground?
So, yeah, yesterday I've been avoiding the roof climb for forever because I don't love heights.
Yeah.
And my management stitched me up saying, I've got an appearance there. Yep. Cool, no worries. Couple hours, get a little bit of money, no worries.
Oh, hello.
And then
who was
said yes straight away.
Where and when?
Who was funding the retirement yesterday?
And then they sent the details through after I'd already committed.
Yep.
Yes.
And I have to do the roof climb.
Right. Hey. We'll give them a play. It was for Sharon.
It was for Sharon.
Good
footage.
Some
people paid to do the roof climb themselves.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what I'm, I don't know why.
Oh, come
it
on.
It was horrendous.
So for those
it's a great experience. You should do it. But at the same time, I was absolutely crapping myself.
For those people that haven't been lucky enough to do the roof climb yet,
yeah.
When you get over that riverbank stand, which is the one obviously down near the Torrens end, Boki, you can actually, you're strapped on, you can hang out and lean back almost at a 45 degree angle. Over, you're actually over the ground. You're over the goal square. Did you do it?
No.
What?
100% no.
Like, come on, Boki,
so
you're
we went up
on.
There and I was sat straight down and my hands were on the rails up there and they were white from gripping onto the rails. Yes. There's no way I could have done that.
It is a long, long way up.
Mm.
It is a massive, massive... Because during the games, you can actually go and do the roof climb, pay a little extra, and you can sit up for a quarter, essentially, on that little platform.
Kenny should go up there and coach him up.
Watch the game. It's a good
view
up spot.
There. Definitely a good view, but... yeah, it's a little bit scary.
Did you kick a footy off it?
I wanted to kick the footy off it.
No, they wouldn't let me.
Because
I think even if someone wants to go up there and propose, everything has to be tethered, right? So if you wanted to go and propose to your partner up there, the ring has to be, like, locked on. You can't actually hand the ring. Nothing's allowed to be sort of on its own
but
without being connected.
But then you'd be in a blue jumpsuit in all your proposals.
It's a nice outfit. But do you want, like, people are like, oh, if you're scared of heights, like, don't look down.
Yeah.
First thing I did, look straight down.
But, mate, this is the point. But what's the point of going up if you're not looking down?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you could be just anywhere. But that's a good thing. It's like right now, we'll try this, okay? Mm. You two, don't think of an apple.
Oh, well,
what are you thinking about?
A pear.
Well played, Travis Boke. Hey, good luck. Game 351 on Saturday night.
Thanks, guys.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Virginia, welcome along.
Thanks.
Are you nervy or you got everything under control?
I actually feel very excited. I'm really excited for people to see this program. Broadway legend Patti LuPone. Thank you very much. We've got another incredible headliner who is Lisa Simone, who is Nina Simone's daughter, who is singing songs of her mother and telling stories of being Dr. Nina Simone's daughter with an incredible 16-piece band.
Oh, that's cool.
Amazing Adelaide locals, Johanna Allen, who's doing her incredible new show called Pop Culture Vulture. We've got amazing people, Mel and Sam, who you might have loved from the Adelaide Fringe, who we're saying, like, hey, come up here, level up. Let's give you a little more support and a little more money and show you off in a different way.
This is going to be huge. And the tickets are on sale today.
They are indeed. This very day, 10 a.m. today, they go on sale.
Now, the other thing too, Virginia, what we've been doing lately is we've been trying to help Beck navigate her way through a situation because...
This is irrelevant to the Cabaret
Festival. No, it's
not,
but I want to ask Virginia because Virginia is very well-read and very experienced. We've travelled the world and seen all different things as an actress. So I just thought that she could just chip in and give a bit of a view here. So Beck's friend said to her the other day, Beck, you're a little angrier than normal.
What a sentence.
You're just a little angry at the moment. You're a little angrier than normal. So it sent you on this little exploratory path. But you're starting to discover...
Yes, I'm wondering what the relevance is to the Cabaret Festival.
Well, I was going to ask, because we do have a nurse with us, of course, Virginia.
I see.
Spent 4 years at All Saints Hospital.
I certainly did. All Saints Western General, thank
absolutely.
You very much.
Absolutely.
You know that was a character, fictional character.
Gabriel Jager?
It was indeed.
Right, so I was thinking, when you become a nurse and you're talking shop on that show for so many years, how much nursey stuff do you have to do?
Basically, I have a medical degree now. You're absolutely right. If anybody needs anything looked at, I'd probably reset a bone, probably pull a joint into alignment.
Any terms that jump out from many years ago?
Of course, darling. I think think the thing that I always used to have to say all the time was, and this was the thing that I learnt at All Saints, was that you can say anything, but it's the way that you say it that informs whether people go, oh, this is a bad twist or a good twist. So you can say, BP's dropping, it's 140 over 80. And you say it like that and people go, oh, no. Yeah. But you can say, well, BP's dropping, 140 over 80. And you go, oh, wow.
That's good.
Oh, he's coming out of it, whatever it is.
Yes, we're under control.
Yeah, totally.
Like, oh, my God, I want you to nurse me through this now.
Absolutely.
Can you help me, Beck? So we're talking things like a little moody, feeling unloved, forgetful, all these sorts of mood swings. How could you broach that?
Well, I would say at this point, Beck, what I would like to diagnose you with is being a woman in the modern world. That's what I would like to say. I would like to. Are you rolling your eyes at the, at things?
Yeah. Thank you, my
menopause sounds so much better.
But it's also just true, isn't it? Like we're just surrounded by things that are like wrong in the world, and you want to make them right.
Thank you.
There's not enough time and energy to do it.
Thank you, nurse.
Yes, thank you very much. Dose of maths and champagne.
Yay!
There you go.
What about the HRT? Where's this hormone replacement therapy? Where's that?
We could slap some on you, see what a little estrogen does to you.
Oh, Nurse Gabriel, now you're talking my language.
Hello, hello.
June 7 to 22, it is the Adelaide Cabaret Festival. We have the wonderful Virginia Gay, who is the festival artistic director, with us. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Tickets on sale today at 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. Ah, thank you for having me, loves.
Let's sell it out.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
I think we've all in our lives relied on Dr. Google. If we're feeling any sort of symptoms, they go straight into Google. I've been Googling my peri symptoms, you know, irritability, sleeplessness, all of that crap. Mm.
And it came up with menopause.
Well, it came up with menopause. Mood swings was the big one, and I think you've all endured that from me.
You haven't been diagnosed with menopause, or have you?
No, I haven't. No, no, it's a bit early for that. I'm borderline peri and also just sleep deprived, I think.
So still no answer despite Dr. Google's information?
Possibly a personality disorder.
I wasn't going to go down myself, but if you're taking yourself down that path, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, I think they're up to about edition number 5, the DSM. Have a look at that. That'll give you all sorts of ideas. Better than Dr. Google. Producer Rach joins us.
Good morning.
Now, Rach, you just mentioned a little earlier that you've been Dr. Googling because you've had some symptoms.
What are your symptoms, Tal?
Oh, gosh, I jumped on Google because I was experiencing the worst stomach cramps, like next-level taking-my-breath-away type cramps.
Yeah.
And I was so bloated that I had to unzip my jeans. None of my pants would fit me.
Did you have pasta for lunch? Wasn't a pasta.
I can't remember what I had for lunch, but probably.
Yeah.
So I jumped on Google and put in my symptoms, bloating, severe stomach cramps, and it popped up with that I'm in my second trimester and I'm experiencing Braxton Hicks.
Congratulations!
Oh, well done, Rach. This is quick too, because you and Lockie were married when?
In November.
So already?
Apparently. So, you know, I... any baby's a blessing, but had a little freak out because not planning.
You're a planner. We know that. Yeah. We heard through Bridezilla days that you love to control everything in your life.
Yes.
So that wouldn't have been...
Look, it's not uncommon for women at times to go through to the birth without knowing. We've spoken to people before on this show that have gone to the toilet and had a baby. Mm.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're going into early labour, sometimes you can feel a bit of... pressure on your bottom as the head's
definitely
coming down.
Felt pressure, that's for sure. So, and I was acting like I was in labour. I had my back like laid out against the bed. I was leaning over in different
positions.
Were
you doing your breathing?
Yeah. I got the Panadol out. I was, yeah.
Panadol.
Is that bad?
I don't think Panadol's going to help you with birth pains. So.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so booked a doctor's appointment. Yep. Turns out I had trapped gas. And then when I let go, woof, did I feel better?
You just had a big fart down.
I had a big fart locked up in me. That explains the bloating and the tummy pain.
It's a diagnosis, trapped gas.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Google, you failed us.
Dr. Google freaked me out.
I wanted a show, baby.
I'd be very happy with a baby, but not this time.
All right, Dr. Google, did you get on Google? What did you find out you had? Then what did you really have? 13, 10, 60. Were you pregnant and just about to give birth or experience your Braxton Hicks only to realise that that all you needed to do was let Fluffy off the chain. Mm. Like our wonderful friend Rose.
Get out of here in case you do it again. Yeah. I already have.
13, 10, 60. Give us a buzz. What did you Google? What did you have? And then what did you actually find out? I've got one for you here. What about this one? This has come through on our Facebook. Google told me that I had testicular cancer once that I'd entered all of the symptoms. I didn't really need to go to the doctor and I wasn't overly concerned. Mm. Rebecca said that because she doesn't have them.
Testicles. Mm. That's like a riddle.
Absolutely. 13, 10, 60. Right. What did Dr. Google tell you you had and what did you really have?
Star from Highbury, what happened?
So I was experiencing really, really bad abdominal pain for like a couple of days. Got to a point where I was like, oh my God, I think I'm dying. Mm-hmm. Looked it up. It just said, yeah, basically come back kidney or liver. So I rushed into the hospital, told them what I was experiencing.
Were you really concerned once you'd Googled that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because I'm a bit of a hypochondriac myself anyway. So once reading that, I was like, let's go to the hospital now before I die. Got in and they basically done an x-ray and were like, you're full of, you know what? And I was like, excuse me?
What?
And yeah, it was constipation.
Jeez, there's a theme here.
Yeah, thank you.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. SAFM's Golden Egg Hunt. Win a giant Easter egg hunt for your school.
Oh, we had so many great entries for our Golden Egg Hunt from schools and students all across Adelaide. We wish we could take our egg hunt to all of you.
This is going to be a great opportunity to have a massive hunt, but there is a golden egg which has a great, great prize in it that one of the students will pick up.
All right, we have an assistant principal waiting on the line so we can tell her the good news. Kirsty.
How are you?
Yeah, we are going very, very well. Now, we've got a big surprise for you, Kirsty. Tell us a little bit about your school.
So our school, Bellevue Heights, is a small little school. It's like a country school in the city. We've got 178 students, really strong community sense. It's a really special place to be.
And you've had a bit of a rough time lately. You got damaged in a storm.
Yeah, so 12 months ago we had to vacate one of our buildings, which had our junior primary, French, science and robotics area. Mm. And, yeah, we've had to come out of there and go into a few other classrooms. So it means that we've got shared areas in our hall for specialist classes. We've got music, we've got piano, drums, violin, all happening in admin. And it has also meant that lots of our kids have lost their indoor play areas and breakout spaces, which has impacted the whole school. So, yeah, it's been quite challenging.
Kirsty, as a parent, I know with kids trying to play musical instruments, it can be challenging at times. Now, you've got the kids playing some of these instruments in your admin building.
We do, yeah.
How are they going? How are you going?
Yeah, no, good. No, all good.
Well, we have some good news for you, Kirsty, because your school, Bellevue Heights Primary School, is the winner of our Golden Egg Hunt.
Fantastic. Oh, thank you so much. This will just mean so much to our kids.
Kirsty, we're coming to your school tomorrow morning. We're going to broadcast the show, but importantly for the kids, we have got a ton of Easter eggs that we're going to hide all around the school and do a massive Easter egg hunt.
Fantastic. This is great. Thank you so much.
And $2,000, which will make a contribution, hopefully, to the rebuild.
Great. Thank you.
Now, Kirsty, we're very excited too because one of the eggs is a golden egg. So that will mean that one of the students in the school, absolutely guaranteed, when they find it, they will win a $5,000 family holiday.
Wow. Wow, how incredible. Thank you.
The teachers can't be in the search, Kirsty.
Oh, the same.
So this is going to be great. We can't wait to come and meet you guys and have a big, big morning at Bellevue Heights Primary tomorrow.
Thank you so much. We can't wait to have you and show you our school.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
I remember my 21st very clearly. We had a marquee in the backyard of Mum and Dad's house up at Blair.
Big one.
Big marquee, jukebox. I remember I actually had a fight with my boyfriend because he got a microphone for me because he was in a band. Mm. And then in the speeches I said, and to my boyfriend Tom, thank you for the microphone. That's all I thanked him for and then we had a big fight. But I'm now planning my daughter's 21st.
Wow.
Grace is 21 next month.
You have a 21-year-old daughter.
Yes.
Where does it go?
I don't know.
You know, you got a 21-year-old, so you're going to have this big party. Do you reckon you get to the point now where you still look at them and you think, oh, I could be part of that gang, part of that group?
No. I think I'll leave them to it on the dance floor. Don't
but
you
just
reckon?
Generally, though, when you look at them, do you know what I mean? I'm not talking about like infiltrating their their group to take over, but when you look at them and you see people at 21, 22, 23, 24, do you still sort of think you're like that, or do you now feel so much older?
I would feel about 32.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because I look at that, right, and I think yesterday morning they were launching their Sandford Footy League, right, and all these 23, 24, 25-year-old boys are talking footy. And I'm sort of looking and going, oh, I feel like I can relate to them, and then I realised that I could be their dad. Do you know what I mean? And then occasionally, sometimes I will look at, you know, if you're going to have a shave in the mirror and you just do it and you don't even think about it, right?
I don't shave, but I pluck.
Yes. So I look at it and sometimes you just shave away. Then occasionally, every few months, I might sort of stop and look and go, Jesus, what happened to you, mate? You know what I mean? And you actually realise, you go, I'm not looking at these 25, 26-year-olds, whatever, thinking I can be part of them now because I look like an old man. So you've got all these, what, how old are her mates?
Yeah, well, there'll be a lot of 21-year-old.
Right. So what about, imagine if you were single, God forbid something happened to James, right?
Okay.
And you feel 32 or so, do you reckon like some of Grace's friends, say a 23, 24-year-old guy, you'd look at him and go, do you know what, maybe I could date them?
You reckon?
Hang on.
Be honest. Yeah, it's a
good, David.
No, honestly. Come on.
Be honest.
Oh, look, what do you reckon?
I'd give it a little crack.
No, but you know what I mean? Because you look at it and you go, oh, imagine now if I had to start afresh, right?
Teach him a few tricks.
Are you gonna go and look at a 60-year-old bloke?
No,
55-year-old bloke?
But, oh, my God, imagine, though, you wake up with a 23-year-old, hypothetically, and then you look in their mirror and then you're like...
You see you.
And then you go, oh, God, and the turkey neck's starting to happen. My elbows are sagging.
What do you mean?
I've got saggy elbows.
What about above your knee?
Look at them. Yeah. Yep, knees and elbows are sagging.
And that skin starts... So you honestly reckon you get these 22 or 3, you wouldn't look and go, you know what? I reckon I could hold my own.
I'd leave before the sun came up.
One of SA's fastest growing sales and rental companies. Sold by McGain Again. And now you can listen to Beck and Soda again on this podcast. SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. Number one for fun.
SAFM.